The Brahmin completed his cooking. Just when he was preparing to make the offering, a little Nimai called for the goddess Nidra Devi. She entered into the house and caused everyone to fall fast asleep except the Brahmin. He placed the offering before Bal Gopal. In his meditation, he prayed, asking the Lord to kindly come and accept his offering, chanting auspicious mantras. He happened to look up, and there was little Nimai, with his beautiful golden complexion, a charming smile upon his face, eating a handful of rice. Hi, hi!
Hi, hi!
Again, this child has spoiled my offering. But his words fell on deaf ears because everyone was fast asleep. Nimai glanced upon him. He said, "Why are you upset?" He said, "You have called for me and I have come. I am that Gopal that you have worshipped birth after birth after birth. How am I at fault? You have asked me to come and accept the offering and I have come at your request. Now see my opulence." Then Nimai manifested a wonderful form. This form had a complexion that was dark like the tamal tree, beautiful lotus-like eyes. He had a peacock feather in his hair. A Kostubha mani decorated his chest. He had a beautiful garland of forest flowers that extended below his knees. His lower cloth was brilliant like lightning. This beautiful form of Lord Krishna had 8 arms. 4 of them held the conch shell, the club, the disc, and the lotus flower. 2 of his hands were playing a flute. 1 hand was holding a pot of butter, and the other hand was eating it. The Brahmin saw the river Jamuna, beautiful kadamba trees, with sweet birds singing the glories of the Lord. He saw Brahma and Shiva, Narada, and all the various demigods chanting praise of the Lord. He saw unlimited gopas and gopis singing the glories of the Lord. When the Brahmin saw this vision, in ecstatic love, he fell to the ground unconscious. Then Nimai, with his hand, touched his body. When he touched him, his body thrilled in ecstatic love and came back to consciousness. The Brahmin again and again would see this form and fall unconscious and then wake up and then faint and wake up and faint and wake up. Nimai told him, "My dear Brahmin, birth after birth you have been my devotee. You do not remember, but I do. In a previous birth, you came to Gokul Mahaban, to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And at that time, you also begged and cooked, and I also spoiled your offerings there. And in the end, I showed you this same beautiful form that you are seeing now. You are my eternal servant. I have descended into this world to give pure love of God through the congregational chanting of the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
the near future, I will inaugurate my Harinam Sankirtan pastimes to flood the world with ecstatic love. And you will be fortunate to see these things. Now, do not tell anyone what you have seen, for if you do, you will die. Then little Nimai ran back into the room, pretending to sleep. The Brahmin was in so much ecstasy. He was just crying out, Jai Bal Gopal, Jai Bal Gopal, Jai Bal Gopal. He was taking that rice and smearing it in his face and his body and his arms and his legs, just weeping and crying. His hairs were standing on end, just crying out, Jai Bal Gopal.
Jai Bal Gopal.
Everyone woke up. What's happening? They came running. When he heard everyone coming, he immediately cleaned his whole body and put the rice down and just sat pretty nicely eating. What happened? Is everything all right? He said, yes, yes. In his heart of hearts, he was just longing to tell them that the Supreme Personality of Krishna is your son living in your own house and you don't even know it. If you understand this, you'll never have to take birth again. You'll go back home, back to Godhead. He wanted to tell them this good news, but the Lord told him not to. So somehow or other, the pilgrim Brahmin controlled his senses and did not speak a word of the truth. But that Brahmin never again left Navadvip. He remained for the rest of his life in Navadvip, begging from house to house. And he was one of the only people who knew Nimai's true identity. And secretly, he would every day come to watch the beautiful pastimes of Sachinanda. Anyone who hears this story with faith will be given the benediction that they will meet Krishna very soon. When Nimai was old enough, they performed the ceremony to begin his studies. This was also about the same time as his haircutting ceremony. In this particular samskara, they first put a piece of chalk in the child's hand and start teaching him the alphabet. To everyone's great wonder, immediately Nimai could write all the letters of the Sanskrit alphabet. And he would write, but the only thing he would write were names of Krishna. Hari, Mukunda, Govinda, Narayan, Madhava, Madhusudan. He would only write the holy names of the Lord. Nimai was very restless. Being the supreme proprietor of everything that exists, sometimes he would demand that his mother give him things that were impossible to give. Here at the house of Sachimata, he would be in the arms of his mother, and he would see a bird flying way, way up in the sky. And he'd say, Mother, will you give me whatever I want? And she said, Nimai, I will give you anything you want. She said, well, give me that bird. She said, I can't give you that bird. He said, you promised me you'd give me anything. Give me that bird. So then he would start weeping and crying and rolling on the ground and breaking everything in sight. And the only thing that would pacify him was when everyone came together to loudly chant his name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Nimai was gazing upon the beauty of the full moon. He said, Mata, give me the moon. He said, Nimai, I can't give you the moon. He said, no, you must give me the moon. I want the moon. Not only want the moon, I want all the stars. He said, well, you have all the stars. He said, no, I want it in my hands. So he started crying and crying and rolling in the ground and breaking everything in sight. And in this emergency situation, all the ladies came together, raised their arms to chant the holy name. Was the only way to pacify the Lord. And there was nothing that gave Nimai greater pleasure than hearing his holy names chanted. One day, he was crying. He was crying intensely. It appeared that he was suffering some illness. He was crying so much. So everyone gathered around and chanted and chanted and chanted. But he kept crying. So they were chanting louder and more intensely, and he kept crying. Finally, they said to Nimai, we're chanting. We're chanting. We're chanting. So loud we're chanting. My child. And Nimai said that I want the offering that Jagadish and Hiranyapandit have offered to Lord Vishnu today. Now it happens to be Jagadish Pandit's appearance day today, I believe, yes? Disappearance day. So it's an auspicious day to hear this pastime. Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit, they were two very, very great pure-hearted devotees. They were dear friends of Jagannath Mishra. They lived about 2 miles away from Nimai's home. So Jagannath Mishra said, it's impossible, Nimai. How can we get the offering that they are offering to their deities? And Nimai just kept crying. He said, I want that offering. I want their offering. So Jagannath Mishra went to the house of Jagadish Pandit, sent someone. And it was explained to them that little Nimai wants whatever you offer to the Lord. And Jagadish and Hiranya, they were astonished. Because it happened to be Ekadasi that day. And they made a very, very special feast for the deities. How is this child so clever that he has understood that we're making such a special feast for the deities? So they took all the bhoga, and all prasad, immediately brought everything and presented it before little Nimai. And he was very happy. He glanced upon them with a smiling face and took one portion of each preparation, then distributed all the rest to everyone else in great happiness. One day Nimai and his friends were playing with one another near the banks of Ganga. They happened to see a litter of very tiny little puppies. They were very attracted to these little puppies. Actually, yesterday night we saw some nice puppies. Huh?
Yeah.
You took photo?
Yeah.
You must see this photo, everyone, when it is developed. How many were there?
Nine.
Each one was about this big. Little puppies. When they're little puppies, they're very sweet and beautiful looking. But by the power of time, it doesn't last very long. And because it was cold out, 9 little puppies were all laying on top of each other to keep each other warm. And they were all sound asleep. Very beautiful. I must confess, even I wanted to take one home. But I didn't. Out of fear of social conventions. Nimai doesn't worry about social conventions. So he and his friends, they were looking at the puppies and they were dividing them up. And Nimai said, I will take this one. And another boy said, but he's the most beautiful. He's the nicest, most sweetest puppy. I want him. Why are you picking the best one? And Nimai said, no, no, we will take him home and you can all come to my home and we can all play with him. So Nimai brought the little puppy home. Meanwhile, Sachimata was at the Ganga doing her chores. And Nimai was playing with puppy with his friends. And while they were having nice games, one boy started fighting with another boy. Now, Nimai doesn't like devotees fighting with each other. So he said to this boy, why are you causing disturbance? Why are you causing difficulty for my other friend? So this boy became very much, internally he was very pleased, but externally he was angry with Nimai. He said, because you took the best puppy. And then he stormed out of the house. And as he was going outside, he happened to come across Sachimata. He said to Sachimata, you know what your boy Nimai is doing? He's playing with puppy dogs. Not only is he playing, he brought a puppy into your house. And he's holding it to his face, and he's holding it on his head, and he's holding it on his shoulders. Sachimata was shocked. She couldn't believe her son would do such a thing. So she hurried back to the house. And there, when she entered, in Nimai's room, he was playing with puppy with his friends. Sachimata was appalled. She said, Nimai, you are the son of a Brahmin. You are going to ruin the reputation of your family. You have brought this dirty dog into our house, the house of a Brahmin, and with your body, you're playing with this puppy, you've become contaminated. Have you not learned anything about cleanliness? Have you learned anything about Brahminical culture? And Nimai said, no, no, I love this puppy very much. I want to play with this puppy. Why are you speaking against my puppy? So Sachimata understood, and ultimately she only wanted Nimai's happiness. She said, all right, Nimai, I will take care of your puppy, but you should go now to take your bath in Ganga and come back and I will have nice prasad for you. I have made nice prasad for you. So Nimai tied up his little puppy and with his friends went to the Ganga. While at the Ganga, Sachimata untied the puppy and sent him away. Should I continue? One of the little boys saw this and ran to Nimai and said, Sachimata just chased your puppy away. Nimai couldn't believe it. He came back home. Where is my puppy? Sachimata said, I don't know where your puppy is. He said, I want my puppy. You know how much I love my puppy. Why did you take my puppy away? She said, no, no, and somehow it must have escaped. Just have nice prasad and we'll look for the puppy and tomorrow we'll bring him home for you. Now that puppy was very blessed. Although just apparently an ordinary
homeless dog, he became the object of the affection of the most merciful of all incarnations of Lord Krishna. The Lord touched the puppy. The Lord played with the puppy. The Lord loved the puppy. Therefore, after some days, that puppy manifested ecstatic love for Krishna. The puppy was chanting Krishna's holy names constantly. And as the puppy was chanting, tears were profusely pouring out of his eyes, and all the hairs of his body were standing on end, and his limbs were trembling as he was dancing, literally dancing in ecstasy, crying out the holy name. When the people of Navadvip saw this little puppy dog just roaming around the streets, dancing and chanting, they actually started joining in with him, chanting the holy names. And right before everyone's eyes, the soul of that puppy dog left. The body just dropped dead. It was astonishing. From the spiritual world, a beautiful airplane descended. It was a golden airplane with many domes, ornamented with beautiful, priceless jewels. Denizens of the spiritual world descended and picked up that little puppy dog and put him on a beautiful, jeweled, golden throne. There the little puppy manifested his original spiritual body. Celestial denizens were fanning him with chamaras. The Gandharvas and the Kanaras were singing beautiful prayers as that airplane ascended into the sky. The little puppy dog in his original spiritual form was brought directly to Goloka Vrindavan, the highest abode in the spiritual sky, to resume his eternal lila with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upon seeing this, the demigods, headed by Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Varuna, Vayu, they were all chanting the glories of Lord Gauranga. Brahma and Shiva were exclaiming, "We have never, ever seen such an extent of mercy in all of our lives. No other incarnation have ever extended such mercy." An insignificant, homeless little dog was given elevation to the ultimate abode of Goloka. Lord Gauranga is the most merciful, most munificent of all incarnations. We only pray that we can become like that puppy and receive such a benediction of love. Brahma, Shiva, and the greatest of the demigods were coveting the fortune of this puppy dog. They were willing to trade their very high positions to become such a dog, to receive the mercy of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, Sarvasvato ma charanadaya. Tumi to Thakur to ma rakukur kodiya charanam. You are my Lord, and I want to be simply your dog. Devotee does not want high position. I want to be sannyasi. I want to be GBC. I want to be guru. I want to be temple president. I want to be temple commander. I want to be prime minister. I want to be Miss India. I want to be a champion cricket player. A devotee doesn't want any of these things. I want great wealth. Bhakti Vinod says, I just want to be your dog, Krishna. Just let me be your puppy dog. That is my aspiration. Thus, the demigods extol the supreme glories of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Nimai was so restless. Sachi Mata was confiding in her friends. What to do? My child is so uncontrollable. When I tell him not to do something, he will do that thing 10 times more. So I'm helpless. If I don't tell him to do something, he'll do it. And if I tell him, he'll do it more. So they told him that you should worship the goddess Shashti, who is the predominating deity of small children. It is traditional in Bengal for ladies to worship Shashti Devi to protect their children. So she made a very, very nice offering of sandesh and other sweetmeats to offer the goddess Shashti. And there was a temple near a tree that she was going to walk to. But she was thinking, if Nimai finds out that I made this sandesh, he's going to try to steal the offering, definitely. So I have to do it very, very secretly so he doesn't know, and I'll take a back road through the forest to get to Shashti Devi's temple. She was roaming through this isolated little forest pathway in an indirect route to Shashti Devi's temple. And she had the offering hidden under the cloth of her sari. And standing right in the center of the pathway was Nimai. Nimai said, "What do you have hidden under your sari?" She said, "Nimai, it's not your business to know these things." She said, "I want to know, what do you have there?" "You have sandesh." "Mother, I am so hungry. My stomach is burning with the pain of hunger. Immediately give me the sandesh." And Sachi Mata said, "This is an offering to Goddess Shashti. Just let me offer it. And then immediately after, I'll give you as much sandesh as you want." He said, "I can't wait. I will die of hunger. I need it immediately. Give it to me now." And he grabbed the plate from her hand and ate all the sandesh. Satyamata was very bewildered. She went to the temple of Goddess Shashti and prayed, "Please forgive my son. He is so restless. Please forgive the offenses he has committed to you." And then she told the story to the neighboring ladies and said, "Please bless my son that he will be forgiven for this offense to the goddess." Lord Chaitanya told his mother, "Now why are you offering this to Goddess Shashti? Don't you know what it says in the scriptures? That when you water the root of the tree, all the leaves, branches, and twigs will be satisfied. I am that root. Give me all the offerings." Goddess Shashti will be completely satisfied. She held her ears. How can you say this, my child? In this way, Nimai revealed the simple truth about his true identity. But because of his yoga maya potency, his mother was so overwhelmed with parental love, she could not understand his clear words of truth. The little boys played so many games. In fact, Lochan Das Thakur explains, and Vrindavan Das Thakur also, as many games as there were in the world, Nimai would play with his friends. They were always playing. One of the games they would play is on the way to the Ganga to take their baths, they would count all the footprints of the birds. And whoever would exactly count every footprint and get to the Ganga first would win the game. So many nice games. One day, little Nimai approached Sachi Mata and said, "Mata, there is something I want to ask of you. Please tell me now, will you give me whatever I ask?" And Sachi Mata said, "Yes. Within my power, I will give you whatever you ask." And Nimai replied, "Do not ever again eat grains on Ekadasi." In those days, traditionally, ladies did not follow Ekadasi. But Lord Chaitanya established that all ladies must follow Ekadasi. So Sachi Mata vowed to her little boy, "I will never again eat grains on Ekadasi for your pleasure." One day on the bank of the Ganga, Nimai taught his friends the Harinam game, where he would teach his friends to chant Hari Hari and dance. And he would take his little friends and embrace them and put them on his lap and say, "Chant Hari Hari." And his friends were thrilled by his touch. They were just dancing madly, chanting, "Hari, Hari." And Nimai was in the middle. And they were all dancing in circles around Nimai, chanting, "Hari, Hari." And Nimai was so happy to see everyone chanting. He was rolling in the ground and dancing along with them. Some learned pundits, very elderly, stately, grave personalities, they happened to be walking by and they saw this incredible scene. Everyone, just these little children just crying and jumping and leaping and dancing, chanting, "Hari, Hari,
Hari, Hari."
They became so intoxicated by the scene that without even knowing who they were, where they were, or what they were doing, they started dancing with the children, chanting, "Hari, Hari,
Hari, Hari."
And soon just passers-by saw this. These elderly, stately Brahmins jumping around like little children, chanting Hari Hari, and they stopped. They joined in this game, chanting Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
And ladies were coming to the Ganga with water on their heads, and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. So they called Sachi Mata. Sachi Mata appeared, and she saw this scene. These senior, elderly Brahmin pundits, just like little children dancing and singing, "Hari, Hari,
Hari, Hari."
And her son was jumping around like a little mad boy, chanting, "Hari, Hari,
Hari, Hari."
So she took her son and put him in her lap and calmed him down. Then she chastised the Brahmins. "See what you elder, senior, learned Brahmins do. By your influence, you have made my son go mad." When she said that, she completely broke up the whole mood. The Brahmins, they didn't know what they just did or where they were or who they were. All they knew was they were getting chastised by Sachi Devi for making her son mad. And everyone was just bewildered by her words. As she took little Nimai home to protect him from these maddening influences. Nimai would... Should I continue?
Yeah.
Nimai every day would go to the bathing ghats. The bathing ghats in Navadvipur, so much. So many ghats. Sometimes hundreds and thousands of people at each ghat. Performing their rituals, their prayers, their puja, taking their ceremonial baths. And Nimai and his friends, they were so restless. Not a single person in that whole ghat could find any peace when Nimai was there. He would kick his feet and splash everybody. He caused so much mischief. And the ladies, they would perform their puja to the goddess Durga with the hope of getting a good husband. And they'd have the deity of Durga Devi, and they'd have all the offerings of flowers and sweetmeats and incense and chandan. And then they'd go into the Ganga to take their purificatory bath before performing their puja. And while they were in the Ganga, Nimai would sit down on the throne of the Lord. Sometimes it was even Narayan's throne. He would sit down on the throne of the Lord and start putting all the sandalwood on himself, putting the garlands, decorating his feet with the flowers, and eating the offerings. And the girls were outraged in happiness. Actually, they were very happy to see this, but they were confused. You're not supposed to do this, Nimai. We're going to tell your parents. Why are you doing like this? And he said, if you give me your offerings, I will give you this benediction. You will have a husband who is very handsome, strong, and wealthy, and very learned in the scriptures. Now, how many ladies would like a husband like that? And you will each have 7 illustrious sons if you give me all offerings. Some of the girls, they couldn't understand why he's saying like this. So they would prevent him from taking the offerings. He said, if you don't give me the offerings, then I give you this curse. You will have an old, ugly husband with 4 co-wives. So the girls, they were thinking, he's not an ordinary person. This curse may come true. So with great enthusiasm, they gave him all their offerings. Nimai would spend 6 hours a day at the bathing ghats with his friends. He created such a commotion, nobody could control him. Nobody could catch him. He was such a good swimmer. So the Brahmin men, they went to Jagannath Mishra's house, where we're sitting, to complain against Nimai. They said, Jagannath Mishra, your son is the crest jewel of all wonderful sons, but he's uncontrollable. He's wreaking havoc at the bathing ghats every day. Should we tell you just some of the things that he does? As we're trying to take our bath, he kicks so hard that water flies everywhere in our eyes or in our bodies. And then he splashes water in our eyes. We cannot do anything. When we're trying to meditate on the banks of the Ganga, he's splashing and kicking water upon us. Sometimes he's underwater. And as we're performing our Gayatri Mantra, he appears right in front of us and spits a mouthful of water in our face. When we're finished taking our bath, He and his friends will take sand and throw it all over our bodies. So we have to bathe again. And then when we come out, he'll again throw sand all over our bodies. And when we're sitting in meditation, he'll jump on us. And he'll say, "On who are you meditating? The object of your meditation has come before the pathway of your eyes." Another Brahmin said, "You know what he did to me today? I was worshiping Lord Shiva in his lingam form, and he just ran and stole my Shiva lingam from me." Another Brahmin said, "When I came out of the Ganga, I found that he stole all my clothes." Another Brahmin told Jagannath Mishra that I had a beautiful offering before the throne of Lord Vishnu, and your child sat on the throne and ate all the offering. Another Brahmin said, "We were chanting our Gayatri with our body half submerged, according to the Vedic rules and regulations, immersed in the transcendental sound of the mantra. And Nimai, swimming underwater, to our great surprise, he grabbed our feet and pulled us under the water." Another Brahmin said, "I came to the Ganga to study the Bhagavad Gita, but while I was bathing, Nimai stole my Bhagavad Gita." Another Brahmin said that while we were bathing, we put our little babies on the bank, and Nimai took Ganges water and poured it in the baby's ears to make them, making our babies cry. Another Brahmin said, "As I was doing my puja, Nimai jumped on my shoulders and cried out, 'I am Shiva, I am Shiva.' But that's not the worst thing. The ladies are bathing in one ghat. The men are bathing in another ghat. While we're all bathing, Nimai comes and puts the men's clothes on the women's side and the women's clothes on the men's side to helpless condition. None of us can get out of the water to make it, to exchange them right. Your son, every single day for 6 hours, he doesn't come out of the Ganga. He simply creates turmoil. How do you expect your child to maintain good health when he's in the water for 6 hours every day?" Jagannath Mishra picked up a stick. He said to the Brahmins, "Please forgive my son. After all, he's your own son also. But I will teach him a good lesson today." Actually, the Brahmins were very happy. It was the greatest joy of their life to experience Nimai's mischievous activities. It was simply out of play and affection that they made these complaints to Jagannath Mishra. Then the young ladies, actually they were girls, nice girls, they came in a sangam to complain to Sachi Devi. First they bowed down with folded hands and took dust from Sachi Mata's lotus feet, and said, "Oh dear, respectable Sachi Devi, we would like to present to you the naughty behavior of your son Nimai. When we're in the Ganga, he steals all our clothes, so there's no possible way that we can come out." Another girl said, "He just comes right up to me and speaks insulting words to me." Another girl says, "He splashes water in my face." Another girl says, when we're making our offerings, he'll just come up and throw all our offerings in all directions. Another girl says, after we bathe, we come out of the Ganga and he throws sand all over us. Someone else said, he spat water right in my face. Another girl said, when we come out from bathing, he threw a whole handful of itchy, sticky Okada seeds in my hair. Another girl said, he told me he wants to marry me. Every day he does all these things. If we complain to our parents, they will have a good quarrel with you. Sachimata smiled, and she embraced all the girls. And she said, please be affectionate. Do not be angry with my Nimai. I will keep him home so he will not come to the Ganga anymore. I will teach him a nice lesson. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that if the Vedas manifested 10 million forms, and each of those forms manifested 10 million tongues, they could not extol the glory of the good fortune of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, who were the parents of the beautiful, all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Jagannath Mishra, thinking that it was very important that he teach a good lesson to his son, bolted in an angry mood to the Ganga with his stick in his hand. Meanwhile, the same little girls that complained to Sachimata came running to the Ganga by another direction. And they said, Nimai, Nimai, please escape. Your father is coming with a stick. He's very angry with you. So Nimai smiled. And he told his boyfriends, when my father comes, tell him that I have gone a different direction and I haven't yet arrived to take my bath today. So then he ran away. Jagannath Mishra appeared, and he was looking this direction. He was looking everywhere. There was no Nimai. He asked the boys, where is Nimai? They said, we're all waiting for him. He hasn't come yet. We're still waiting for him. Jagannath Mishra asked the Brahmins, he said, how is this possible? All of these complaints you have made, and they're saying he hasn't come yet. What tricks is he playing on us? And the Brahmins, they told Jagannath Mishra that no one is more fortunate than you. Your son is the most special personality. No one can be so fortunate as he who is the father of such a son as Nimai. Whatever he did just gave them such pleasure. Jagannath Mishra told the Brahmins, please forgive my son for him, because after all, you are all just like his father. Please give him your blessings. Meanwhile, Nimai, from another direction, arrived home. And he went right into Sachimata's lap. He had just come from school. There were ink spots still on his body. His body was covered with a whole day full of dust. His hair was perfectly dry. There was absolutely not a single sign that he had taken his bath that day. Jagannath Mishra appeared. Nimai, the Brahmins have told so many things against you. Are you not even afraid of Lord Vishnu? You are stealing his offerings? Nimai said, who has said that? I have not yet gone to the Ganga yet today. I'm just on my way. I decided to come home first. If they're telling these lies and complaining against me, then I will really show them what I can do. And then smiling, he ran to the Ganga. And when he appeared, all his friends who were in the water, they were rejoicing. They said, Nima, you are very intelligent. Today you escaped a very good beating. One night, a Brahmin appeared to Jagannath Mishra. He was a very effulgent, celestial Brahmin. He said to Jagannath Mishra that your son is a very special personality. He's not an ordinary human being. You do not understand who he is. Why do you chastise him? Why do you threaten to punish him with stick in your hand? This is very, very offensive. He may be a mystic yogi. He may be a demigod. He may be the Supreme Lord Narayan himself. And Jagannath Mishra said, whoever he is, I am his father. And if I do not teach him proper behavior, how will he ever learn? So the Brahmin congratulated Jagannath Mishra for his good fortune. Because Jagannath Mishra could not see Nimai in any other way except his own beloved son. Jagannath Mishra shared this dream with others when he woke up the next morning. One day, Satyamata prepared very nice prasad for Nimai that was offered to the Supreme Lord. It was fused sweetmeats, infused rice, very, very nice. She gave it to Nimai to enjoy. And she saw that Nimai, in a secret place, was eating dirt. He was eating clay. When Satyamata saw Nimai eating clay, what would a mother think? She was very much disturbed. She said, Nimai, why are you eating clay? Don't you know that if you eat clay, you will get sick? You may die? I made these nice sweetmeats for you. Don't ever again eat this clay. And Nimai became very philosophical. He said, Mother, what is the difference between clay and sweetmeats? After all, your body, my body, the sweetmeats, they're all coming from the earth. So ultimately, they're all transformations of clay. So what is the difference? Everything is one. Satyamata did not accept this philosophy. She said, where have you learned this philosophical speculation? She said, if you eat sweetmeats, you will become nourished and healthy. If you eat clay, you will become sick. Yes, the clay pot and clay are transformations of the same element. You can carry water with a clay pot. But if you pour water on clay, it'll simply become muddy mess. This Mayavad philosophy you are speaking, my dear son, is totally impractical. So you must give it up. Nimai accepted defeat from his mother. He said, thank you, Mother. Why did you not teach me this higher truth before? I reject this Mayavad philosophy. And I will never eat clay again. Rather, I will drink the ambrosial milk from your breast. Then he climbed on Sachi's lap and she fed him. Shall I continue? Are you being polite or are you serious? I don't know how you tolerate, but I will go on. Vishwaroop, who is a plenary expansion of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, from his very birth had no inclination toward material enjoyment. He spent all of his time at the house of Advaitacharya here in Navadvip town. And amongst the devotees, he would discuss the holy scriptures. Vishwaroop, every verse of every scripture, he explained it from the point of view of pure, unconditional, devotional service to Lord Krishna. His explanations were so sweet, steeped in such deep realization that whatever he spoke brought immense joy to Advaita Prabhu and the Vaishnavas. When Advaita Prabhu would hear the explanations of the Shastras from Vishwaroop, he would literally roar in ecstasy. Tears would flow from the Vaishnavas' eyes. They would loudly chant Harinam out of spontaneous enthusiasm because they loved Vishwaroop so dearly. He became their very life and soul. His only interest was simply being in the association of Vaishnavas, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. He wanted nothing else. Early in the morning, he would rise, very early. He would take his bath in the Ganga and immediately go to Advaita Prabhu's house, where he would spend the whole day just Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. He would become so absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord that he would forget everything of the world. Sachimata would prepare prasad for her children each day. Oftentimes, she had to send Nimai, go bring your brother Vishwaroop home, tell him prasad is waiting for him. So in the house of Advaita, everyone was singing the glories, the praises, and the names of Lord Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan. And little Nimai, who was playing, clothed only in the four directions, body covered with dust, appeared at the doorway of Advaita. When he appeared, Advaita Prabhu and all the Vaishnavas, upon seeing Nimai, their hearts were enthralled with his beauty. Without a single blink in their eyes, they just gazed upon the beautiful form of this small child. They were not even able to continue chanting Krishna's names. They were spellbound by his beauty. They were practically hypnotized. They just gazed upon him in ecstatic love without having any idea who he was. And then Nimai would pull the cloth of his brother and say, "Mother is calling you home for prasad. Let us go." And he would pull, and they would both run home. Advaita Prabhu and the Vaishnavas, they looked at each other. What just happened to us? Who is this child? When we see this child, we are experiencing the same ecstatic love as seeing Krishna. Vishwaroop would quickly take his prasad and then go right back to Advaita Prabhu's house. Vishwaroop was utterly brokenhearted to see the condition of materialistic people of Navadvip. Beside this small group of devotees, everyone was captured by the powers of Maya. No one would take the name of Krishna, which is the only purpose of life in this age of Kali. People would interpret the scriptures in every possible way, but they would never even touch on the point of devotion. Bhakti, which is the culmination of all knowledge. Bhagunam janmanamante jnanavam mampapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudulabha. The conclusion of all knowledge is to surrender to Krishna. People were so much entrenched in the dark pits of karma and jnana. No one cared anything for devotional service or Krishna. Therefore, Vishwarup would have nothing to do with anyone. Because even when they tried to preach to these people would simply blaspheme them and care nothing about what they said. They were so proud of their learning, so proud of their affluence, that they would criticize and condemn all the behavior of the Vaishnavas. Therefore, Vishwarup, with single-pointed attention, spent all of his time with the devotees. He could not tolerate wasting a single moment with materialistic people. He was so deeply learned in the scriptures and absolutely renounced. This brought great worry to his mother and father. They decided that it is time to arrange for his marriage.